come over here, kid. Learn something. You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil, and you fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, some tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. And a little bit of sugar. And that's my trick.
Why don't you cut the crap? I got more important things for you to do.
Hello, my name is Phil, and welcome to My Life as a Foodie. I've been thinking about starting this show for a while, and I really couldn't think of exactly what angle to take, so I just decided not to take one. I'm obsessed with food, and I think that's all I really needed to get started, so I figured now was as good a time as any. So welcome to the show, and thanks for tuning in. We'll start with the word foodie. What exactly is that? I gotta admit, I didn't like the word at first, but it kind of grew on me. Nothing really explains it better than that. It is what it is. What the hell does that mean anyway? I think about food all day. When I wake up, when I'm showering, when I'm feeding the cat, while I'm working, I'm thinking about what I'm going to make for dinner. What's fresh at the farmer's market? I wonder what fresh seafood the butcher might have when I arrive at my lunch break. What are my friends cooking for dinner tonight? It's a sickness, really, and I'm consumed with it. And the irony of it is that it's something that I consume. But the word seems light and cute, too friendly, you know, kind of contrived, foodie. But, you know, what are you going to do? It's what we're called, and my life as a hardcore meat-eating carnivore just didn't seem to have the right ring to it, so I went with this. So some quick Q&A, who I am, what I'm doing, what the hell is this? You can kind of consider this a primer to the show. Who I am, what I'm like, you know, where the show might go, and certainly what to expect. I certainly don't know what to expect, but I'm going to kind of expand my culinary adventure a little bit further than I have, and I'm just going to take you with me. There's a lot of shows on TV that do this, and I love them. It's a lot of fun to watch people explore new cultures and to learn new, you know, new things about food and different cuisines. It's nothing to be afraid of. It certainly is something that I have grown to appreciate and enjoy. To begin with, I'm not a chef. I just love to cook, and I'm inspired by classic cooks and chefs. I love the variety of food that's available to us here in the United States. I live in Southern California, and it's not really different than other areas of the United States. We have become a melting pot of cultures in our country, and it really has made us strong, and it is the foundation of the United States that these other cultures come, and when they come, they bring their food, and that is just the greatest gift to me, that we have so much food in this country. You know, we don't have food TV in Africa. You know, we're very rich here, and there's tons of things to try and tons of food to eat, and I just feel that we're really lucky, and I think it's an insult to other cultures not to take it all in. You know, you may not like it all, but it's a hell of a journey. So if I can open you up to just one new thing throughout the run of this show, seriously, that is all I will need to feel like, you know, it's been worth it. You know, the whole immigration fight that's going on, we're kind of at the center of it. And we've got South Americans, Europeans, Asians, Middle Easterns. They've all brought their food with them. And I'm telling you, it's awesome. We've got markets here that carry everything, tons of ingredients, limitless possibilities. Sometimes I'll go to these markets and I'll just see what's available. And I won't even look for anything in particular. I'll just browse. And some things I see, I can't even believe anyone would eat, like pork uterus. Who the hell would eat a pork uterus? Obviously, someone's eating it because they sell it in the meat department, and it's always fresh, and it's always in stock. So I think the bottom line is there's just nothing that you can't get to make authentic meals from these cultures. And like I said, it's a gift. So I'm sure if you look hard enough, you can find these things too. You know, you don't have to buy anything. Leave your wallet in your car if you want. just go in there, look around, see what's available, and just look at what other people are eating, what's available to you. I love to eat, and I love to drink, and I love to cook what I eat and create what I drink. I'm a home brewer, and I make my own brand of beer and hard cider, and I think someday I'd like to make wine. This show will kind of focus on the wide variety of food available to us here in the United States, what it is, where it comes from, and I'll try to provide some interviews with people who grow food, who brew beer, who make wine, some people who own restaurants, and who bring sustenance to our tables. I've got friends who grow food and friends who can turn it into a ballet on a plate. So you'll meet all of them before I'm finished. I think beer is often misunderstood, and it stems from the beer culture that everyone sees on television, NASCAR, billboards, all the commercials that run during the Super Bowl. Budweiser is definitely everywhere, and Anheuser-Busch does a great marketing job. They've got an excellent marketing department. They hire the best advertising agencies to make these ads, and they've done a fantastic job of convincing the country that that is what beer is. It doesn't seem to scratch the surface for me. It's just so much more than that. Brands like Budweiser, Miller, and Coors, they're the big sellers in the United States. There's no question about it. There's a whole other beer universe out there. The craft brew market is going through a giant growth spurt right now, and it really isn't slowing down, and I hope it doesn't. I hope it just continues to grow. So if you haven't tried craft brew yet, I suggest that you do that. At least try it once. Good beer is a huge part of my life, and I plan on making it a big part of this show. Another thing is, whenever I meet someone new, and I tell them that I like to cook, like one of the first questions I get is it's the same thing every time. Who's your favorite TV host? Who's your favorite food TV star? Like the Food Network is a measuring stick for home cooks. And I'll be honest, I love Food TV when it first came out. When I first found it on cable, I watched it religiously almost every day. It was a whole new world to me. And it was fun. It opened my eyes to a lot of new things. I realized new chefs were out there. I'd never heard of Mario Batali, Anthony Bourdain, Farron Adria, Thomas Keller. These guys were ghosts to me. It was great, you know, learning who these people were. And the staples of the network, like Emeril Lagasse and Bobby Flay, they're very entertaining and somewhat informative, and I look to their shows for entertainment and inspiration, and, you know, I'd get recipes from them, and all was well, until about a few years ago. The Food Network's fame got to their head, I think. Emeril got a sitcom on NBC, Bobby Flay started appearing on The View and Oprah, and the search for the new Food Network star had begun, and my interest in Food TV just began to sink. The success of Iron Chef on their network, which was a show from Japan that they bought the rights to and didn't even produce, morphed into a mess that is now called Iron Chef America. So they dropped Iron Chef, and now they have Iron Chef America. And it's a show where Bobby Flay, who practically saved that network along with Emeril, gets challenged all the time by other cooks. Professional chefs, but still, he loses hell of a lot more than he should. And they even make that poor bastard challenge every other everyday cooks on a show called Throwdown. Can a highly regarded successful chef trained at the CIA who owns several restaurants in New York and Las Vegas actually beat Mary Jane Rottencrotch from El Paso, Texas in a chili cook-off? No, he can't. Obviously. The judges say hers is better. I'll tell you, if I were Bobby, I'd tell the Food Network to stick it up their ass. But I'm not Bobby, I'm Phil. I'm a wannabe chef podcaster, and here I am in my studio boring you with my opinion of the Food Network. But, you know, I say this a lot to my friends. You know, you remember when MTV played music videos 24/7? Then they started with reality shows like The Real World. And before you knew it, they hardly played music videos anymore. You know? So they had to start... They actually created a separate channel just for videos. So I think that's kind of what Food TV has become. It's another MTV. They say it's way more than cooking. That's their slogan now. So, suffice it to say, I don't watch shows like that big-breasted, drunken, semi-whore maid.
Welcome back to Semi Homemade. I'm Sandra Lee, and it's cocktail time.
Or the hillbilly, whoever she is.
Hey, y'all, I'm Paula Deen. Today's show, we're going nuts with all kind of nuts.
But I'm sure glad they're there. You know, at least they're teaching people how easy it is to cook meals at home. You know, I think that's important. Fast food is really making this country unhealthy, more complacent, And I think it takes the dinner table out of the equation. The dinner table, to me, is like the family psychologist. Slow down, eat together. Really. I mean, it's as simple as that. When we grew up as kids, at least when I grew up as a kid, and I grew up in a pretty poor house, we always ate at the table. We had dinner every night together. And we talk. And I think, you know, it was a big part of my childhood and why I think I grew up being as passionate as I am about food. You know, well, it doesn't take much. Talk over a giant bowl of chicken salad or pasta. You know, God forbid you should miss soccer practice for one night just so you can actually talk about your day. You know, enjoy some home-cooked meals together at the table. It's good for the family. But like I said, you know, if Food TV continues to provide shows that show people how easy it is to cook at home, there's absolutely little I'm going to say about that network. But, some things just really irritate me. Earlier this year, they did a show called, I don't remember what it was called, the Food TV Awards. Man, I tell you, when I saw the promos, I just knew it couldn't be good. And, well, it wasn't. They gave an award to the blender for best appliance. A freaking blender. You know, I'm telling you, if they do it again next year, and I still have this show going, I'm going to make up my own categories and have a lot of fun with it. I'll start with the best rack on a Food Network host. I don't think Rachel Ray will be in that one. So I do love to eat out. I just don't like to eat out for things that I could easily make at home. So, for instance, I don't go out for pasta or pizza that often unless it's a place that can kick my ass. I don't eat at steakhouses either. They're expensive, and quite frankly, beef is not all that hard to cook properly. But there are some things I simply cannot duplicate at home without an incredible amount of work and sacrifice. So that's where I'm headed, and I'm going to take you with me. Culinary adventures here. So maybe not every episode will have something like this, but a majority of these episodes will. And sometimes I'll have video. Sometimes I'll have audio, sometimes neither, but I'll always take pictures, and maybe sometimes I'll be able to scan the menu, describe the process, describe what I had, and go into as much detail as I can without completely boring the crap out of you. So when I thought of what food to debut the show with, nothing really made more sense to me than noodles. I grew up in a Sicilian household, so pasta was on the menu 2 to 3 times a week, and almost every Sunday. Of course, because of this, I was taught that the Italians invented the noodle. Later I learned that this wasn't true at all, but it didn't matter. Noodles, whether made of semolina, buckwheat flour, or rice, man, it's all the same. It's comfort food, and nothing takes me back to my childhood like a bowl of hot noodles. So last winter, one of my best friends, as well as a fellow foodie, Don, who I'm sure you'll meet at some point on this show, took me to a Japanese noodle house here in Orange County called Ibisu. They serve many different types of noodles there. They serve ramen and soba, but in all sorts of different kinds of broths, many different flavors, many different styles. I'd had ramen and soba before, but never at an authentic Japanese noodle house. And it turns out that this wasn't even the place we were supposed to go. He was going to take me to a place that was better, but they were closed because it was Christmas break. He said it was better, and this place was ridiculously good. So I can only imagine what the other place tastes like. So if I get the chance to go back there with him, we're going. And I'm either bringing video or audio, but we're going to hit that place at least once. But I'm telling you, this place was an experience that I will not soon forget. And I did vow to return there with my wife, who does enjoy to share new experiences with me. I took her there recently, and we had lunch. And now keep in mind that noodles are to Japanese like pasta is to the Italians, and I think maybe even more. It's an everyday food, and, you know, we see these 25-cent bags of top ramen in the grocery store, and we think cheaply of ramen. That really isn't ramen, at least not how the Japanese have it. It's something to be taken very seriously. Noodles, believe it or not, in Japan are a serious business. There's bad ramen, there's good ramen, then there's really freaking good ramen. We had good ramen, but in some really good freaking broth. Ramen differs from Western-style pastas because it's richer in taste, it's semi-porous, and it doesn't rely on some really dense, strong sauces to give it flavor. Fresh noodles are dropped in boiling water for a short period, then into a bowl of hot, rich broth, which either has a base of chicken, beef, or duck stock, some ginger and onions. They add some fresh bean sprouts, some barbecued pork, bamboo shoots, and finely sliced scallions. Then they finish it by cracking a fresh egg across the top, and they bring it right to your table. and you grab your chopsticks and you just get ready to tuck into a bowl of heaven. It's subtle and it's warming and it is comfort food like I've never known. So it took some getting used to, but slurping noodles is not only allowed, it's encouraged. When you slurp noodles, it lets your host or cook know that you're really enjoying the meal. So when you're sitting in an Asian establishment and you're eating noodles, ditch every one of your Western values, if only for an hour. You just really seriously have to lose yourself in what you're eating. And man, I'll tell you, I lost myself in those noodles and I felt really good about it. So I do like it hot, so I added some hot pepper. And they had some pickled chilies, and you just put it in your soup and gives it a little kick. I certainly can't eat noodles without a beer, so I ordered a 22-ounce bottle of Sapporo. Japanese lager is clean and crisp, so it complements Japanese food very nicely without getting in the way. You never want to challenge what's on your plate with what's in the glass. So always make sure that if you're drinking something, that it either complements your food or at least takes a back seat to it. And if you're ever in doubt, just drink water. So I placed some pictures on the site from our meal at Ebisu. I think I'm going to do is put a slideshow up there. Hopefully that will be a bit easier for you to watch. I would appreciate your feedback on it. Let me know if you want more details, if you want a copy of the menu to look at. I appreciate anything, any feedback I get on this. It's good because I want to make it a really good show, and I want to provide as much information as possible. This was almost like a trial run, so I didn't know exactly how much or how little information to provide. So I just, you know, took some pictures and got some captions and that kind of stuff. Certainly a place like this, I can't just go waltzing into the kitchen and start asking questions. I'll get my ass kicked out. So I decided to play it cool, just have lunch, take some pictures, get the hell out of there, and come back with a couple memories. So that was the first one. One other thing, I am not a big fan of people who don't like to eat meat but want to squirt it in my face. If you're a vegetarian or a vegan, I'm glad. It's a very healthy lifestyle you've chosen. But don't come down on me when you see me eating an animal, even one that just died for me. I really don't give a crap what your opinion of it is. And if you want to combat me on it, that's fine. I've got plenty of ammo, just like you do. There is a great quote. If it's dumber than me, slower than me, and tastes relatively decent, pass the salt. I'm not a guy that shies away from eating the undesirable cuts or the innards. You know, some of my favorite things are things you don't find on every other menu. Chicken hearts. I love those. Go to a yakitori place, and you'll see just tons of internal organs being grilled, and they're just delicious. Feet, kidneys, brains, tongue. It's not gross. I mean, I'm not doing it for a gross factor. I'm doing it because I'm curious. And my curiosity usually pays off in these instances because I end up having a really good experience and I open myself up to, parts of the animal that, you know, would otherwise go to waste or end up in sausage or something. I don't agree with anybody telling anybody what they can and cannot eat. You know, if you don't want to eat some fatty food somewhere, don't eat there. But there are some people that can't live without it. And if they can't, fine. Knock yourself out. Give yourself a heart attack. Who gives a shit? I don't. So there you go. So that's how I stand. Well, I'm dry. I'm out of here. I'm done. I'm finished. Kaput. Thanks for tuning in. Please send your comments, good or bad. I appreciate you hanging out with me. And I'll see you next time on My Life as a Foodie. Ciao.